I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. Southern Sudan, a successful election polling to free the people of Southern Sudan from Northern Sudan after many years, decades of civil war. Juma will be the capital. However, there has now been continued fighting since that polling. And the question is, who's doing the fighting and where? The contested region of Abyei, which is right in between Northern Sudan, Southern Sudan, and, to complicate it, Darfur, to the northwest of Southern Sudan. That is one area of conflict. But there are also reason to be concerned about a militia, a guerrilla, a terrorist organization operating out of Uganda called the Lord's Resistance Army, operating in parts of Southern Sudan. Josh Krohn, reporting for the New York Times, is in Kampala, Uganda, the capital of Uganda, and reporting now that Southern Sudan's problems are not over. They've just moved to a much larger canvas to protect the people from the LRA, the Lord's Resistance Army, as well as from the continued conflict in Abyei. Josh, a very good evening, good morning to you. Let's begin with 800 civilians have died since January, since the polling. This is throughout the whole of Southern Sudan. Is this considered a high number or a low number during the civil war?
Well, it's a good question. First of all, technically, right now we don't have a civil war. The civil war ended, but there's still these kind of festering tensions. It's a relationship where both parties had a lot of fights, and they're not able to physically separate too far away from each other. So there's always some tensions. Now, in terms of it being a high number, it is high. I mean, 800 civilians is a lot of people in less than 3 months. Virtually, it's a lot of people. But at the same time, this figure does not include soldiers, and it does not include one of the bloodiest conflicts currently, or bloodiest, maybe conflict is the wrong word, but one of the bloodiest areas in the region. It does not include Abyei. Abyei is not a part of that equation. So the 800 civilians is actually quite low for the amount of people that have been killed in violence in southern Sudan. It's much higher.
We have various reports of people fleeing their homes, dislocated by the violence, but let's talk about the Lord's Resistance Army. Why is this a threat to southern Sudan? Why do the Uganda forces operate in southern Sudan?
Well, this is a rebel group. It started out in Uganda in the 1980s. It's taken on many different phases of its existence. It was founded by a mystic, some call a witch doctor in northern Uganda, carried on by her nephew, Joseph Kony. Now, they've been running around Central Africa and East Africa for decades. They were in Uganda, then they went to southern Sudan, which is just to the north of Uganda. Then they left southern Sudan and went to the Democratic Republic of Congo. Then they went from the Congo to Central African Republic, and now they're kind of back in Congo. And this is an area where all these countries, you know, they just come together. And so it's a kind of Bermuda Triangle of a lack of authority, a lack of governance, a lack of security, a lack of observation. These people, they go left and right. They do whatever they want. They cross borders easily. You know, going from Democratic Republic of Congo to southern Sudan, you may not even notice it as you walk through the trees. So it's a very difficult area to patrol. This is a rebel group that has basically been on the run for decades. They've never had a clear vision. They go on the offensive, but they're always kind of running away. So it's a very difficult group to deal with, and they do whatever they want.
The southern Sudan is scheduled to become independent, declare it, on July 9th. Is there a concern in Juma, the capital, that this continued fighting, the threat from Uganda, the Lord's Resistance Army, and the fighting at Abyei, will delay that declaration or in some way mute the significance of it?
No, it will not mute the significance of it, but it'll certainly leave a bitter taste in the mouth of what would otherwise be an extraordinarily joyous occasion. It's not very often where a country is born. It's a very, very big deal. And it's supposed to be a very, very happy deal. The referendum went off very well. There was a lot of people saying that things might go wrong. There was a lot of worries. There was a lot of pessimism, but it went very well, and there was a lot of reason to celebrate. And since then, reality's kind of set in. You know, the calm after the storm, or the storm after the calm, more likely in this case. So it'll certainly leave a bad aftertaste during independence, but it's not likely to mute its significance, and there's very, very little chance that Southern Sudan will not declare independence on July 9th. They're not going to want to wait another day. They've been waiting for this for 50 years. They, you know, it's an extraordinarily emotional thing for them, and it would be a force of very, very strong foreign powers that convinced the Southern Sudanese to not declare independence on July 9th.
Let's speak of Abyei. This is the region in between. And some days ago, Josh, you reported that satellite imagery from the Satellite Sentinel Project shows a buildup of northern forces, including armor and rotary winged aircraft, attack helicopters, pickup trucks, fixed wing airplanes, all outside of Abyei. That's a sizable army. To what end? What's it there for?
It's hard to tell. It's very hard to tell. Abyei is a place that its value lies in its like iconography. There's oil there. There's a fair amount of oil there, but it's been dissipating, and it won't be there much longer. So it's not necessarily a physically strategic locale, but it's kind of this icon for both the North and the South, and neither one wants to let go. Both sides want to show that they're strong. Both sides want to show that they're stubborn. Both sides want to show that they're not going to back down. Now, are they about to go to war? It's not possible to tell at the time. Both countries or both regions may very well want to go to war over this land, but the land itself is not of enormous or immense strategic value, but it is a personal icon. It's a mental, psychological icon. It's an emotional icon, and both sides want it.
Josh,
people have called it the Jerusalem of Sudan.
Josh,
and it's, Josh, you know, if you go to the place, it doesn't look like much. It's certainly no Jerusalem, but it's disproportionately important for what it actually brings to the table.
Josh, does the Southern Sudan is building up a force there outside of Abyei too to match the Northern Sudan?
They're trying to, but they don't have the same amount of the same weapons. There's been a number of reports of Southern Sudan receiving tanks. There was a major, major leak by WikiLeaks about a boat off of the Kenyan coast that was loaded with tanks that turned out that it was headed towards Southern Sudan. In terms of geopolitics, Uganda, Kenya, these are very kind of powerful countries in the region that support Southern Sudan. So there's certainly, they have a lot of backing, and they have the backing of the United States. So they should be quite confident in their security, but they're not, and they're trying to build up, they don't have the same type of weapons. They don't have all these helicopters, and they have tanks, but we're not seeing them there. But everything's very, very delicate at this time. The situation is the South's to lose. They've fought for independence. They were given the opportunity to vote for independence. They voted for independence. They achieved the result needed to become independent. All they need to do is wait. All they need to do is wait, and they get what they wanted, which is their own country. So they're not, they're most likely not looking to aggravate the situation too much. At the same time, UN officials in southern Sudan have said that it's actually the southern Sudanese who are blocking access to some of these sites in Abyei. So it's a very difficult situation to read. It's difficult to understand what is so important about it. And although common sense and conventional wisdom would say that there's no reason for them to go to war, there's no doubt that both sides are very interested in bolstering their troops.
Josh Krohn reporting for the New York Times. There is a buildup of significant military units around Abyei. We await for the July 9th declaration of a new state, Southern Sudan. I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show.